2011, regular meeting 2011-26 will please come to order. I'd ask that you all rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dibdow?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Botello?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Turn first to our special orders of business. We have two of them tonight, both of them matters of great pleasure. The first, a mayoral proclamation that I'd like to read. Whereas Anna Graceman is an 11-year-old girl born and raised in Juneau, has shown herself to be an amazing musician and songwriter, having written more than 35 original compositions. And whereas Anna has been touted as this little girl with an old soul in her voice, and whereas Anna found her musical gift at an early age, singing complete songs at 18 months, performing for audiences at the age of 2, and playing the piano by the age of 4. At the advanced age of 6, she wrote her first song entitled So I Cried, a song based on the experience of her brother being very sick when he was little. And whereas Anna has become a legend on YouTube with over 11 million hits, which led to her 2009 appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And whereas Anna was honored by the City and Borough of Juneau in 2010 as one of the grand marshals for the 4th of July parade, and whereas Anna's monumental talent took her to the semifinals of America's Got Talent competition on NBC, competing against other performers of all ages. Now, therefore, I, Bruce Botello, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby recognize Anna Graceman for her commitment to excellence and urge the community to support her amazing accomplishments. We wish her a bright future. Break a leg, Anna. In witness thereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau to be affixed this 14th day of November 2011. Anna is not here tonight, but we're just tremendously fortunate to have her great-grandparents, Roy and Pat Varney, to join us. And I ask if they'd come forward and be able to present them this proclamation. Roy, thank you for coming forward.
This is Barney's too bashful.
Good evening. My name is Roy Varney, and I am Anna Graceman's great-grandpa. My wife, Pat, and I first visited Juneau almost 41 years ago to the day. We fell in love with this beautiful place the moment we landed. That love affair has endured to this day. We've strayed away for a few brief periods, but we've always hurried back. Juneau will always be our home, and we are here tonight to speak for Anna. Unfortunately, she could not be here this evening to receive this very kind acknowledgement from the Juneau Assembly. She's on her way to Colorado, where she will perform in the next few days at the Adoption Exchange Charity Benefit in Denver. Anna is a little girl with an amazing musical gift. Even more amazing is her willingness and even eagerness to uplift others by sharing her talent. Mayor Botello, Anna regrets not being here this evening to accept this proclamation from you. She has asked that I represent her tonight and express her gratitude. Juneau has been a wonderful place for Anna to grow up with her younger brother and sister. She's been particularly influenced in positive ways by her schooling at the Juneau Montessori School. She would like to particularly credit her teacher, Mr. Corey Crossett. Juneau, with its unparalleled beauty, has provided much of the inspiration for Anna's prolific songwriting. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and members of the Assembly, for your acknowledgement of this young lady who was made choked up here. It was made Alaska and particularly Juneau proud. It continues to be Anna's heartfelt desire to represent her hometown in an honorable way. Thank you very much.
We won't tell anybody. We have the distinct pleasure of recognizing a slightly older person, but also very marvelous. And I'll first call on the manager, and I trust you're going to be delegating this down to our director of Parks and Rec.
I am. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Brent?
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. The American Association for State and Local History is a not-for-profit professional organization of individuals and institutions working to preserve and promote history. At its annual meeting this September in Richmond, Virginia, the Juno Douglas City Museum was honored to receive the prestigious Leadership in History Award of Merit for their digital stories about the quest for statehood and Alaska's capital. It began in 2005 when the museum embarked in a multi-year project designed to encourage middle school participation in civic government through primary source materials and oral history. With the topic Juno as Alaska's Capital City, Alicia Jones, curator of public programs, worked with 92 middle school students from Floyd Dryden and Santakahini School to research, write, interview, and record digital stories to be featured in the museum's gallery. With assistance from teachers and support staff, Alicia scheduled herself and guest presenters to teach students how to conduct primary source research, oral history interview techniques, filming, recording, and editing of digital media. Alicia invited the scheduled community members to be interviewed and filmed by the students. Final digital stories consisted of student narration, interview clips, and historic photographs. These stories range from 3 to 5 minutes and are available on touchscreens in the museum's gallery. Topics fell under four main themes: Juneau as Alaska's capital, cultures of Juneau, the quest for statehood, and Elizabeth Paratrovich, civil rights in Alaska. Students created 20 digital stories. Additionally, some students at Floyd Dryden created poems about statehood and civil rights. Two of the poems were read at the 50th anniversary of Alaska statehood flag-raising ceremony held on July 4, 2009 at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. The museum achieved its goal of engaging students in its primary function of interpreting and exhibiting Juneau's history. Additionally, this project helped us present a complex exhibit theme in a dynamic and compelling way. I'd like to bring up Alicia. So please join me in congratulating Alicia Jones for her outstanding work. For her outstanding work in the creation of this remarkable exhibit. So thank you, Alicia. Appreciate it.
Alicia, could we take you? We'd like to shake your hand as well.
If you haven't been to the museum, please go and see it. It's a wonderful exhibit.
Thank you for your work, Alicia.
Admission is free.
Thank you.
The hours are 10 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you. Alicia is also a mean which is to say great dance teacher, among other things. And this is a great educator in so many different ways. Thank you, Alicia. We have before us next the approval of minutes, first from the October 17th, 2011 regular meeting, 2011-24. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us the minutes of the October 18th, 2011 assembly retreat. And again, I think folks are aware that we're missing some notes, and so this is an abbreviated summary of those of our decisions reached. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none again, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. Finally, we have before us the minutes of the October 31st, 2011 special meeting, 2011-25. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Manager, any agenda changes?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us next on our agenda to public participation on non-agenda items. We allocate a total of 20 minutes. No speaker may speak for more than five. And again, these are for matters that are otherwise not on our agenda. We have three individuals who have asked to address the assembly. I'll call first on Ms. Jenny Del Rosario. And again, for members of the public who have not testified before us before, we have a lighting system, 5 minutes. You're going to get a one-minute warning, or actually a 30-second warning, and then the red light. That, Ms. Del Rosario.
Good evening, Mayor, Mr. Mayor, Member of the Assembly, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jenny Del Rosario, a proud member of the 4th of July Committee. We're here because we are preparing for the 4th of July, and we have a lot to clarify and confirm with the Assembly. And tonight I'd like to introduce our director, Ms. Jane Stock.
I'm the Stock Director of the Juneau 4th of July Parade Committee. Good evening. I only need about 30 seconds of your time. I researched this question, but I was asked by the committee to attend this meeting and ask you the plans for the park and the docking facilities down by the old city shop. They want to know if that's going to interfere with our staging area, which is down at DOL, Department of Labor Building. Because sometimes we need to put some of the larger floats behind that gate back there, and we don't know if that's going to be available to us.
The manager is acknowledging that it will be available.
There won't be any interference with our staging area. Thank you. We work 24/7, about 365 days, to get this gala affair brought to our beautiful capital city, and we don't want anything to mess us up.
Ms. Stock, thank you very much, and if you would also convey to the committee our appreciation for all the work they do every year.
I will. That's I will. Great. It's a wonderful committee. They work very hard. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is that time?
Next, Mr. Shane Williams.
Copies. There's 12 there total. Should be enough for everybody on the assembly and staff. My name is Shane Williams. I represent Capital, Evergreen, and Taku Taxi. I'm here with the other two owners of their two companies, J.C. Harris and Luis from Orange Taxi. Recently, we presented a letter to the administration, Mr. Swope, and that was then followed up with a meeting with the police department. the issues to us at this point in time from back in 99 when the original ordinance that we're working under, which has been changed three times since then in 02, or 03, 04, and 06, we finally come to the conclusion that we're not going to get the enforcement we asked for. I mean, it's absolutely that way. They haven't done it for a decade. The industry, being the cab industry, the limo industry, the shuttle industry, and the tour bus industry, has roughly paid over $500,000 in permit fees for the last decade. There has been no market segment enforcement. So it was at our discussion, because it was the cab industry that brought up the fact that we wanted this enforcement. We were informed by the assembly we would have to pay fees, and those fees would be directed then to the enforcement of the industry. Ain't got it. So we went back to the staff, and we directed a letter to Rod, city manager, stating clearly that the fees needed to be reduced. We were told, well, it's the same as Anchorage. Well, Anchorage is a limited entry market. Juneau is not. Furthermore, if they're not going to enforce, we're paying for nothing. And I can remember at a number of Committee of the Whole's, Human Resource Committees, Assembly meetings where I was told from the mayor on down, we were going to pay. So at this point in time, we were told, no, they're not going to reduce all the fees across the board as we had asked. We respectfully are now coming to the Assembly and saying, we're done dealing with the administration. We asked, we were considerate about it. There has been no action. They haven't taken any action. And the amount of fees that we're paying are not commensurate to the services that are represented within the ordinance.
Questions for Mr. Williams? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. James Harris.
Hello, good evening. My name is James Harris. I represent Juneau Taxi and Tours, Yellow Cab. And I am here for basically the same reason that Mr. Williams was here for. We do have a few issues that we do need to work out. There are some issues that are causing a lot of problems. We're losing a lot of driver base because of shuttles that are allowed to pretty much be a gypsy taxi. They can do charters, tours, anything on a whim. They can do any of these services at any time by any customer asking them. If they need anything that a customer needs, they can provide because they're able to do so. We've asked that a shuttle be a shuttle, a tour vehicle be a tour vehicle, a charter vehicle be a charter vehicle, and not all the above at any point in time. I do believe the city is working on that. Rod has been very helpful with this. We have talked to him, and we've had meetings with him. We did have a meeting with JPD, and pretty much anything that came about dropping fees that we have to pay each year was turned down. There was some things that they did let us have, but anything when it comes to basically money that we pay them was turned down. We're not getting the enforcement that we pay for. We're not asking for the enforcement anymore. We're just asking that we basically get our money back. We were told that if we pay out these fees that we would get enforcement, and we haven't gotten it. And in the meantime, we've lost drivers. I don't know if you've read the paper lately, but people are complaining that there's not enough cabs at the airport, and that's a lot of the reason why. Because the shuttles bang us up so bad that drivers basically leave and do something else. And now we're short on drivers. We've been really working hard between the three companies to get a larger driver base back up, and I think we've succeeded pretty well in that. But it's a matter of time before it happens again. That's about it.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Are there any questions? Yes, Mr. Dibdahl.
Yeah, just looking at your fees, I see you got the airport destination fee to and from and the cruise ship dock. Mm-hmm. And what's the rationale on for those two?
Those are all permits that we have to pay for. We have to pay to be able to pick up at harbors. We have to pay. We have to get an airport permit to be able to pick up at the airport. It's just a way for our drivers to try to get some of their money back that they put out to be able to go to these places to pick up and drop off customers. We have to pay to even, whether we pick up or drop off at the airport, we have to pay to do that.
And the last one, the customer soiling taxi fee, how do you propose to charge that?
Well, that would have to be a civil thing. I mean, we can't expect JPD to come out and force them to pay a fee when, you know, if they've caused damage to the vehicle. And soilage can mean a lot of different things. But it's more of something that we can, or the drivers can use civilly if there is damage. Right now, there's nothing in the ordinances that says that if a customer spills coffee all over their car or ink, anything, you know, that they can't, there's no repercussion against the customer at this point. That's why we're asking for that.
Further questions? Yes, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Mayor, the previous speaker mentioned Anchorage as another benchmark for this fee structure. Mm-hmm. How do other communities like Ketchikan, how do they compare with this fee structure?
Well, I've looked around a little bit. I've talked to Fairbanks. I've talked to Kenai. A good friend of mine owns Yellow Cabin Anchorage. And at this point, our fees are higher than all of them. And, I mean, Anchorage has full-time police officers that actually go out and do nothing but do transportation enforcement. And I mean, we have officers, too, that do a good job. But it's, in our eyes, it's not good enough. We have, like I stated before, we have shuttles that can basically be a gypsy taxi at any point. They can do anything. And that all we're asking on that is basically, well, we have asked that they put a stop to that. And I think Rod has kind of looked into that a lot, and I think he's got a good plan for that. But we're not. What we're asking now is that over the past decade, we've been paying for this enforcement. We haven't gotten it. And it's run off a lot of our drivers, a lot of our business.
Any further questions? Thank you for your testimony. And again, for the public, during this period, the Assembly may receive comments on various issues. They would not be taken up until the end of the meeting during Assembly comments and questions. With that, we move to the consent agenda. And here, any matter on the consent agenda other than an ordinance for introduction may be withdrawn so that public testimony may be taken on that item. Is there any member of the public who wishes to take an item off the consent agenda so that they may testify? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to ordinances for public hearing. We have first before us Ordinance 2011-26. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to execute a lease of a fraction of Lot 1, U.S. Survey 5504, located near the Fish Creek Quarry on Douglas Island, to Atlas Tower, LLC, for the construction, maintenance, operation, and leasing of a communications tower.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would authorize the manager to execute a lease to Atlas Tower for the purpose of constructing a communication tower to be located near the Fish Creek Rock Quarry over on Douglas. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the lease in its notice of recommendation dated July 13th. Atlas Tower has received a conditional use permit for the proposed communication tower facility. The Assembly Lands Committee, at its October 10th meeting, recommended the Assembly authorize execution of lease subject to the terms and conditions included in the ordinance. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-26? Sir, if you'd come forward, please, and identify yourself.
Hello. My name is Michael Powers. I'm a representative from Atlas Tower, and I've appeared before the Assembly in the past. I appreciate you taking time to hear our matter today. I generally don't actually have a particular comments to make. I think we've been working on this for quite some time. A quick thank you to Heather Marlowe with the Lands Committee for her hard work on this issue. We've been marching forward on this matter for many months now. But mostly I wanted to make myself available to answer any questions that might still be lingering and perhaps provide a rebuttal if there's some issues that come up in the forthcoming discussion, if there is one.
Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you so much.
Is there any other member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2011-26 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Ordinance 2011-11S. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $6,615 as funding for the purchase of a 3D crash reconstruction software program and police officer training, grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Highway Safety Office.
Mr. Manager.
The one of the things the police department faces is in an accident, trying to reconstruct the accident and how it happened, of course, for liability and insurance cases. And apparently it's a fairly difficult thing to do sometimes. Can't just take the word of the individuals involved. So this is a program that will assist them in doing that. It requires matching funds of $4,000, and we can provide that through in-kind services of the officer salaries. So I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-11S? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2011-11S and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Ordinance 2011-11T. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $6,633,082 as additional funding for the Juneau International Airport Runway Safety Area Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration, Alaska Department of Transportation, and the Juneau International Airport.
Madam Clerk, we're actually on the previous.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Back up. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $30,583 as funding for the Alaska Shield training provided to members of the Capital City Fire and Rescue Hazmat Team, grant funding provided by the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
Mr. Manager.
Usually every year or every other year, they have a statewide program, usually put on by the military, exercise and emergency response program. It's a pretty good program that they put on. And this program this year, Alaska Shield, be up in Fairbanks, and this will allow us to send a couple of our firefighters up that are on the hazmat team to participate and get it's really good experience and training to go through this. So we're fortunate to get the grant funds, and I'd recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-11T? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I move Ordinance 2011-11T and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Ordinance 2011-11U. Madam Clerk.
This is an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $6,633,082 as additional funding for the Juneau International Airport Runway Safety Area Capital Improvement Project, funding by FAA, Alaska DOT, and the Juneau International Airport.
Mr. Manager.
The FAA funding funds 95% of the project, with the remainder being split between DOT and Juneau International Airport as a match. The match from the Juneau International Airport was approved by the Airport Board at a March 9th meeting. And the FAA funding, as well as the DOT match, state DOT match, were approved at an October 12th meeting of the Airport Board. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2011-11U? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2011-11U and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Ordinance 2011-11V. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $94,575 as funding for the first 6 months of a three-year grant for two new police officers for the Downtown Patrol Community Policing Project, grant funding provided by the United States Department of Justice Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services.
Mr. Manager.
This is one of those rare grants that I don't expect we're going to see many more of. And we were fortunate to get this from the Department of Justice. This grant will fund two police officers for 3 years free of charge, and then we will be obligated to fund those positions the fourth year, and then thereafter if we want to keep them on the force. But we are definitely obligated for that fourth year. So the, in total, this grant's worth $567,452. It was written as a directed patrol policing grant, and it was patterned after our downtown patrol. So these officers that are picked up under this grant will be directed down toward downtown policing, which I think given all the issues that we're having to deal with recently, will really be a good thing. So I would recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2011-11V? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Cahill.
Mr. Mayor, I move the Assembly approve Ordinance 2011-11V. And I have a couple of questions.
You have the floor.
Rather than ask. Mr. Manager, am I understanding correctly, these are not existing positions. These would be additional officers?
That's correct.
Okay. And do you know, does the department have a plan in terms of hiring new officers into these positions with upfront training costs, or would these be officers, is it anticipated that these would be officers who already had their police certification or training?
Typically what they'll do for these positions is if there are officers currently on patrol that are interested in coming into this position, and probably the only benefit of this position is the hours. They're not having to do shift work, so I think there's some appeal here. They don't get quite as much overtime. So it could be either or. If they can get two officers that are currently on patrol that are interested in taking these positions, they'll do that, and then we'll take two new officers just coming out of the academy and put them, well, they'll be ride-alongs, but they'll be assigned to patrol. So it could require some training, and it may not, depending on the recruits that are willing to do the job.
Thank you. You seeded my next question beautifully, which was what is the anticipation in terms of the hours that these positions will be doing their patrols?
It varies, and we do that intentionally so that folks downtown don't know exactly when the people are going to be on patrol. But normally it's 8 to 5 or 10 to 7. They tend to try to move the hours around, but it'll be daytime. And they may skip a couple weekdays and work weekends. We wouldn't have to pay them overtime if they skip 2 weekdays and decided to work the weekends. But to answer your question, it's not a set time, and we do that purposely. Mm-hmm. So it's not predictable as to when they may show up. I think as remember the officer that we recognized before, he mentioned that they consider it happy hour when he's no longer on patrol. So they very quickly, folks very quickly realize when officers are going off duty, and we try to change that up so it's not quite as predictable.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Ms. Danner.
Thank you. I have a question about budgets. Normally when we have a grant, we don't put that revenue in the budget. But because we know this is certain, will it be included in the revenues in our budget and
yes.
then in the expenses as well?
Yes, it will.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Great. Thank you.
Further discussion? If not, is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to new business. We have before us the appeal of USC 2011-0010, the Kaikala Accessory Apartments, Mr. Manager, or Mr. Hartle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the benefit of the new members, our charter provides that decisions of any of the various boards, the CBJ, may be appealed to the Assembly. And then we have an appeals ordinance that regulates exactly how that's done. In this case, the Planning Commission approved a conditional use permit for two accessory apartments, and it has been appealed, and it's a timely appeal. And now the question before the Assembly tonight is whether to accept the appeal, and if it is accepted, whether the Assembly will hear the appeal itself or assign it to a hearing officer. And if the Assembly hears it itself, will the mayor preside or will he designate another member? I've looked at the appeal packet. It was timely. I see no reason why the Assembly should not accept the appeal. And I see no reason why the Assembly should not hear it itself.
Let me first ask whether any Assembly member has questions about the process. If not, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering, would you mind serving as the hearing officer if the Assembly were to?
I'm prepared to do so.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I move that the Assembly accept the appeal, that the Assembly hear the appeal itself, and that the Mayor be appointed as the hearing officer.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to staff reports. Mr. Manager?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hartle?
One short item. I attended the Alaska Municipal Attorneys Association conference in Fairbanks for 2 days, and a very successful, hardworking conference. And, of course, it gave us the opportunity to attend the clerk's banquet where our clerk was awarded the Municipal Clerk of the Year. That's my staff report.
And we had a great delegation showing up to give her support. I suspect others will comment on that as well. That brings us next to assembly reports, and we have committee reports. I begin with the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Committee of the Whole, I believe, met last on October 31st, and the only member who I couldn't see whether she was wearing a costume or not was Ms. Danner, who I believe was in Hawaii connecting on the phone. And we covered the Climate Action Plan, assembly goals, and annexation. And our next meeting will be December 12th, which we will interview candidates for the next manager's position.
Or at least review applications.
Review applications, sorry.
That brings us next to our Human Resources Committee, Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two meetings to report on. The Human Resources Committee had its regular meeting on Monday, October 24th, and at that meeting we considered appointments. The Human Resources Committee recommends the reappointment of Joanne Schmidt to a term ending, to the Social Services Advisory Board to a term ending September 30, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
We also heard appointments for Juneau Economic Development Council. In this case, the Economic Development Council interviews and recommends their own positions, and they recommended to us, and we further recommend to this assembly the reappointment of the three incumbents as recommended. Beverly Schoonover to the environmental seat, and Darren Dindiger and Kevin Ritchie to the two public seats, all for terms ending October 31st, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay. In our meeting, we had a discussion. Also in our meeting, the Human Resources Committee considered the Community Development Block Grant, and we recommend that the Assembly apply for the Community Development Block Grant with a proposal submitted by the Aware Shelter, as outlined by staff.
Which was approved tonight.
Oh, it was. There we go. So then I didn't need to report that to you, but I do need to report that in our other business, we discussed our practice as a Human Resources Committee. When we consider applicants for the Enterprise Boards and the Planning Commission, we meet the full assembly as the Human Resources Committee. It is part of our procedures, and serial number 2550 our rules of procedure, and there was discussion on whether or not we should amend that. And I'd like to pass the mic, if I can, to Mr. Dibdahl, since this was his recommendation for discussion.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Yes, the idea here was that we know it's a bit difficult, if not onerous, for our clerks and what have you to work around all of our other meeting schedules and try to get all nine assembly members at such meeting. And I don't think it happened way back when, but there was a period of time where it seemed to become the order, the rule, that all members had to be there for such appointments. And I feel we should change that and rather just be a quorum. And if you have significant issues with the appointments, you should be at that meeting.
And is this the recommendation of the committee?
It is the recommendation of the committee.
And if, again, so I take it that we're looking at a recommendation that Resolution 2550 be amended to delete the requirement of all members present to sit on appointments with regard to our enterprise boards. Does that summarize?
And the Planning Commission.
Yeah. And the Planning Commission. Okay. Discussion? Objection. Mr. Hartle, you have an assignment.
Yes, thank you.
And is it the intent that we proceed in our review, which is now scheduled for this Wednesday, in the normal course, pending the resolution? Is there objection to proceeding in the normal course? Hearing none. So ordered.
Very good. All right. Additionally, November 14th, that's today, immediately preceding this meeting, the regular Human Resources Committee met. There were no appointments at this meeting, but we did have a member of the community, a representative of the Retired Public Employees Association, come to present information and a request for support for Senate Bill 319, a Pharmaceutical Market Access and Drug Safety Act of 2011. It was Mr. Gary Miller who presented to us, and he presented some information about the amount of money we spend, both the state and the city, from our medical benefits on pharmaceutical drugs. And this Senate bill is designed to allow for import from other developed countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, some Euro, and Japan. It's something that we would, it has bipartisan support in the Senate, and we think it would be worthy of support from the Assembly.
Let me ask whether the committee is looking for us as a full Assembly to adopt a resolution, or simply give instruction to our lobbyists. Has the committee considered that?
We did not consider discussion with the lobbyists. The request actually was that a letter of support go to our delegation
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection?
I have a question. Ms. Becker. Don't feel like I know enough about this to know that I want to say that we should be approving drugs from other countries. I don't know enough about it. I would want to read that and see it and hear from the manager and other people. I mean, that's a big step.
Mr. Dibdahl, Mr. Keel.
I think the request was for a resolution, and I think we anticipated that a resolution would be drafted and then presented to the full assembly. And at that time, members could have the backup information that we are privy to and make their decision accordingly.
Mr. Keel?
What Mr. Dudbell said.
Yeah.
Again, so the request is the recommendation of the committee is a drafting a resolution for endorsement of the Senate bill so that debate can take place appropriately in the full assembly. Further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Ms. Tanner?
That's it. Thank you.
That brings us next to Lands and Resources Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No report. The next meeting is the 21st of this month.
That brings us next to Finance Committee.
Nothing at this time.
That brings us then to Public Works and Facilities Committee. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met on November 7th. We had an update on biomass as an energy source and its place in the community. It was an informational presentation. And we also had discussion from city staff on various options for Main Street improvements. The staff's taking those ideas and discussion points from the committee back, and they'll work on some additional ideas and bring it back to the committee for Main Street improvement options for further discussion and then perhaps forward to the full assembly after that. The next meeting of the Public Works and Facilities Committee will be on November 21st. Thank you.
Thank you. And that brings us next to liaison reports. I'll begin with Mr. Wanamaker.
No report tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Mayor, I just had an opportunity to attend the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau annual retreat. Very dedicated board. Spent most of the day with them. They had three items they really wanted to work hard on. Of course, we read about the move that they anticipate in their offices from Sea Alaska over into a more affordable location. They're concerned about lowering their entire cost structure, and they're doing a great job of accomplishing that. And they're also cognizant of the reaction to the closing of the office there in Centennial Hall. The second item that they focused on was the condition of the roof in Centennial Hall, which as the major venue for conventions in Juneau, apparently it needs some attention. They wanted you to be aware of that. And then finally, they're concerned about increasing the transportation corridor, increasing, in particular, air service to Juneau, which I know we've worked on in the past, but they're very concerned about having more access to Juneau by people who want to visit. So it was a tremendous meeting, and they look forward to a strong relationship with the Assembly this year.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee had a meeting here Wednesday night. I was unfortunately unable to attend, but received some briefings afterward. The group, in addition to its normal business, is working diligently to put together some proposals that they would bring forward to the Assembly to compete for inclusion as a portion of the 1% sales tax project. It is the needs are remarkable and extensive, and the group is keenly aware that they'll be competing with other public infrastructure needs. And so I would invite any Assembly members who have thoughts about the highest priority parks and recreation improvements to either talk with me or talk with members of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. They are they're working hard at that and want to make sure that they bring a good and a responsible package forward.
Mr. Dibnall.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane.
Two things, Mr. Mayor. I've just gone off the Sustainability Commission, but we did adopt the Climate Action Plan this evening, and I want to thank the Sustainability Commission. I know that they have put a tremendous amount of work into this project over the last year, and I'm glad to see that come to fruition. In addition to which, Eagle Crest held a public meeting on November the 2nd at Centennial Hall. It was extremely well attended. Well over 100 people had a presentation of their long-range plan. For people who were not able to attend that meeting, you can still comment on that long-range plan, and there is a survey online. And so I would encourage those people who are interested in Eagle Crest and its development to take a look at that survey.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Docks and Harbor had quite a lengthy meeting, and and they do a lot of work, as we all know. We did receive a letter from the Douglas Advisory Board asking that Docks and Harbors consider renaming the Douglas Harbor after after Mike Cusage, the original owner of Mike's Place, and that there's a process for doing that, and so Docks and Harbor is working with the group to go through the process. The cruise ship 16B, the design is proceeding to 65%. We've submitted a Corps of Engineer nationwide permit for the cruise ship dock, and that's been submitted. Douglas Harbor, the breakwater is continuing to be worked on, and Docks and Harbor is asking for a regulatory agency gathering in January to try to make a decision about how this dredging and the rest of the work is going to go on at the Douglas Harbor. They call it the log jam, the whole permitting process. Stater Harbor, there's designs for new floats at DeHart's, and that's going to the 65% completion. And also, there's a Corps of Engineer permit to fill wetlands at the boat ramp launch area, so that's, we're waiting for that. Aurora Harbor, the permit came through to replace the broken piles and put a new pile in at the A3 float, which is one of the two that Dotson Harbor wants to fix, A and B. They've been having a lot of leaks at the Aurora Harbor and have been doing some diving to fix those leaks, and that's going along fine. It's just something that's been a lot of work for them. The Mount Roberts Tramway Tideland lease, the survey came in much higher than what the price had been in the past, and so Gold Belt is going to get another appraisal, and so that discussion will continue. The Copenhagen group came, and I know you visited with them. That was November 4th, and letters of thanks for their coming here were sent, and that was a great activity. Docks and Harbor approved a commercial use permit for Core Alaska to use the Echo Cove launch ramp to continue taking their boats back and forth to Kensington, and that the price range, the price schedule was worked up and approved. And the Core Alaska will take care of garbage and snow removal, so that will not be a cost to the city. Next meeting is Tuesday, 5 o'clock tomorrow, at the Harbor Office. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Stanner.
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Stone.
I have no report at this time, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
That brings us to Assembly comments and questions. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask the city manager if he has some information prepared, or if you will prepare some information for us on this taxi company requests for these financial relief requests of theirs.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Salt.
Yeah, as you know, these are regulations. We've met with the taxi companies and the shuttle companies on several occasions. In fact, I sent you an email, if you didn't get it, giving you an update today. Did you receive that?
I saw an email come in as I was leaving to go somewhere to another meeting before I came here.
Okay. And so we met with them several times, talked about their requests. We have made a number of changes to the regulations as well as the rate structure and fee structure. And I believe that recommendations from the CPV officer, Jennifer Adams, those recommendations were given to you, John. And I think now they're in Department of Law to be drafted up. And my intention was, once we got those drafted, bring them before the Human Resources Committee for review and comment. And then once we got your comments, incorporate anything you wanted into those, and then we would put them out for 21-day review, which is what's required for regulations, at which time then public could comment. We would incorporate any comments that we felt were appropriate from the public, and they would be back before the Assembly for consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe that's the process that it satisfies my concern that we are addressing it correctly. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to recognize Karen for her leadership position taken with the AML in Fairbanks. And I wonder if you were a little bit more involved with that, if you could share with all of us how that happened.
A delight. Ms. Crane was nominated to fill the position of second vice president for the Alaska Municipal League and was unanimously acclaimed. She, by virtue of that position, will serve as president of AML in two terms. She will move automatically next year to the position of first vice president and from there to president of the Municipal League.
Let's give her a hand.
Mr. Smith, anything further? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also had the pleasure of attending the last Municipal League conference and the newly elected officials training the 2 days prior, and was intrigued by some of the training that some municipal attorneys from points north of here provided on assemblies and councils operating in their quasi-judicial roles, and I'm delighted that we so quickly are going to get an opportunity to exercise that training with the appeal that we accepted tonight. The timing is just very fortuitous. I also wanted to applaud Ms. Becker, who during the business meeting at the close of the AML conference deftly wielded Juno's vote and did a remarkable job of thinking quickly and in the community's best interests. And so I appreciated having her there to do that for us all. I also, since we're on the conference, Mr. Mayor, thought that it would be appropriate for the Assembly at this time to recognize the recipient of the this year's Alaska Municipal League Victor Fisher Award for, and I'll get the title wrong, but for excellence in municipal government and
leadership.
And leadership, thank you, which, of course, went quite deservingly to Juneau's own mayor. It's remarkable that Vic Fisher, one of the framers of our Constitution, was there personally to present the award and made some very strong and heartfelt remarks about the caliber of leadership that Juneau's been lucky to receive and that AML has been lucky to benefit from. And so congratulations, Mr. Mayor, on receiving that award.
Yeah.
To conclude, Mr. Mayor, I ask that in the red folders you put something that I drafted up in part. It's an attempt to expand our goals list, and I will ask that it be scheduled for a future committee of the whole meeting for consideration. The top 10 goals there are, of course, precisely as the Assembly dealt with them. And I didn't propose any changes. The other goals are an attempt on my part, with a little help from some of the more senior members of the Assembly whom I sought out to sort of help guide me on this, to take some of the laundry lists we've had in the past and look at them. And I cribbed heavily from a similar document last year, do a little wordsmithing, but this is just a draft, Mr. Mayor, and I hope that we can consider the rest of these goals, because some of my top stuff didn't make the top 10.
Without objection, I'll refer this to the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Dibdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to make mine short and just make sure I congratulated Lori for her award. Apparently others recognize what we already know, and that she's simply the best. But I want to congratulate all the rest of you. And I'm really sorry, Beth said that I missed one of the best karaoke nights in Fairbanks.
Ms. Crane.
Just want to add my congratulations to you, Mr. Mayor, and to Lori.
Thank you. Ms. Becker.
Thank you. Not to just repeat what's already been said, but I feel I'm really in the company of quite an outstanding group, with Lori getting an award, our mayor getting an award, Karen being chosen second vice president. So congratulations to you. And AML was really a great event. There was a lot of very good, interesting, thoughtful work that went into that. Then I have one other thing. I would like to ask Rod to give a status report on the Archipelago purchase, and if it would be more appropriate for it to come to Lands for that discussion. That's where it started. Then Lands would be willing to take that back and discuss it some more.
Mr. Manager,
and I think that would be the way to go. I'm looking at Heather, and I think she'd be fine with that. So okay. You bet we could refer that back to Lands and have a discussion on status of that.
Thank you.
Ms. Tanner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also had a great time at AML. And this year was especially fortunate the 2 days prior to AML to find myself in Anchorage. I was invited to participate along with faculty, staff, administration, and community members in a gathering of 14 alternative high schools across our state. We all know that Alaska is number one in the nation for teen suicides. Many come from difficult family situations. Of the 120 students enrolled in our own Yakuske Dakahiti High School, 62 are homeless. Drugs, alcohol, and sex are part of their coping mechanisms, and yet they continue in their efforts to complete their education. These are seriously brave and determined young people. In discussing the many challenges facing these individuals, a common denominator emerged. And it's not unique to alternative high schools or to high schools at all. It's depression. When we cannot control our world, we feel frustrated. Hit a brick wall, and often you get angry and you might even give up. Or if somehow you find the strength and courage to hold on, maybe you will find a pinhole of light, some small opportunity to make things better. The kids at Yakus are doing that every day. They say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. If we can find a way to help our young people to find the light that comes from opportunity, we will all be stronger for it. While in Anchorage, we worked on a plan of attack as part of a Department of Education grant. We've already gathered significant baseline data. Over the next 3 years, the students at Yakuske, with the help and support of the adults who care, are going to make strategic efforts to tackle depression. Through these efforts, we expect to see measurable improvements in attendance, graduation, and achievement scores, along with reductions in high-risk behaviors. Because it is a small school, Yakuske provides an excellent opportunity to test various solutions to reduce depression and its impacts. Our alternative high school is eager to take this on, and the other schools and the whole community stand to benefit from what can be learned. I applaud the students and the adults at Yakuske Dakahiti High School for their determination. I look forward to hearing more about their efforts, and in the face of steep odds, I hope and expect great things to emerge.
Thank you. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My apologies to all that who went to Municipal League. That would have been my last one. I really wanted to be there. Unfortunately, the Alaska Miners Convention was being held at the same time, and I had to be there in Anchorage to roast Steve Burrell, who was the executive director for 22 years and is retiring. But congratulations to Ms. Crane, Ms. Sika, and, of course, our mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. I had a Fairbanks official particularly comment very positively about the degree of participation of the city and borough assembly, particularly at Municipal League, not just this year, but in past years. in contrast, interestingly, to the Anchorage Assembly, which had only one assembly member present. And that contrast, again, was apparent to this official, but I think it is to others as well. And I think it's really important that we continue that kind of outreach. Our visibility, our participation in the committee structure and activities of Municipal League inure clearly to the benefit of the community as well. And I appreciate all the members who were able to attend. And I know all of you would have been there had the opportunity presented itself. Again, my congratulations to Lori. Very, very well-deserved award. And I, Mr. Smith may have put it first, that the acknowledgement of what everyone else here has long known about Lori, to have that identified on a statewide basis. Three other things. First, a thank you to Tom Matisse for arranging for the Division of Homeland Security to conduct the executive emergency management briefing that Ms. Danner, Ms. Becker, and Ms. Crane and I were able to share a couple weeks ago. It was very valuable. Second, a question to the Assembly with regard to the process of vetting General Economic Development Council board members. I would suggest that it's a bit of an anachronism that we're reviewing recommendations of a board to replace its board members and that we move towards giving it greater independence in that regard rather than tying it to an approval process that also takes up resource time of our clerks. And I'd ask permission to have the city attorney prepare an appropriate ordinance or resolution as required. Is there any objection to that course? If not, we'll go ahead. And then the final, some weeks ago we received a communication from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council asking us to trigger the consideration of the percent for art in the 16B development. And again, I would suggest that we urge the Docks and Harbors Board to proceed on that basis. Is there objection?
Mr. Mayor, I do have a question. It's my preconceived understanding or notion that the percent for art is for art related to a particular project. When we, got the new federal building on 10th Street, we got money for that statue that's outside of that building. And set aside money for that. I'm concerned that 16B is going to have visual impacts on our view of the waterfront. And I think it's very important that when we set aside money for the arts, that we make sure that we don't spend it too quickly without considering the
visual impact.
Mitigating the visual impacts of our work on 16B.
Ms. Becker, followed by Ms. Crane, followed by Mr. Dibdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe what Ms. Danner said is pretty much expresses what Docks and Harbor has also been saying. Basically, Docks and Harbor does not think that moving as soon as possible is wise because, as they say, they need to evaluate what it's going to look like after it's finished. And then that would make it a better project to see that whatever the 1% for art ended up being, that it fit in with what's already there with 16B. So that is what they would like to do. Docks and Harbor's not in favor of going ahead and having that project start right now.
Ms. Crane.
Well, I think we know what that project is going to look like. We've had drawing after drawing after drawing. And I don't know that it's going to take a while to realize 16B, so I don't know that the art project needs to start immediately. But what I would like to see is some of the arts community involved with Docks and Harbors in figuring this process out so that it is more than just Docks and Harbors board or board members making the decisions, that the Juneau art community, whether it's Arts and Humanities Council or however Docks and Harbors wants to structure that, but that there is broader involvement from the arts community in the final decisions.
Mr. Dippel.
Yeah, I think it's good that they're thinking about it and may want to plan and maybe involve even more groups. I'm just curious as to what the 1% of 1% of what will be.
I don't know that any of us can answer that question. Ms. Downey.
Mr. Dipdahl brings up a great question. I mean, how will we identify? I mean, if you don't know, and those of us here at the table don't know, I don't know if anybody at Docks and Harbors knows.
1%.
How will we identify which pieces of 16B are a facility and which pieces are infrastructure?
If I took your question to mean how much.
Yes.
I don't know the answer other than to say 1%, but I think the ordinance makes pretty clear what the 1% is conceptually. And I'll turn to Mr. Hartle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have the ordinance in front of me, but it does have very specific language. I've been asked by Docks and Harbors to offer my opinion on whether the 16B project qualifies for the 1% for our program. I haven't finished the memo, but I've looked at it, and so has Amy Mead, and we both concluded that, yes, 16B triggers the 1% for art requirement, or rather, more accurately, it doesn't meet the very few exceptions that are in that 1% for art ordinance. And but I would have to look at the exact language to figure out 1% of what. I believe it to be the construction cost. In any event, I will be sure to address that very question in the memo I'm writing now for Docks and Harbors.
May I suggest that perhaps what we do is, at this stage, ask the Arts and Humanities Council to confer directly with Docks and Harbors? Is that a course of action people would be comfortable with? Mr. Wanamaker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would be I'm very comfortable with that course of action. The other thing that I would like to do is remind the Docks and Harbors Board and our Arts Council that in 2002, the Assembly approved and set aside funds, a small amount, to begin what was known as the Cultural Gateway to welcome people to the community, and that task force, that art task force, never really was appointed due to a number of factors. Docks and Harbors and Parks and Rec, I think at the time, were in disagreement as to who would manage that arts project. Well, this seems like it's an approved project. This seems like an opportune time to remind them of its existence and see what information they might need in order to think about incorporating it into their 1% program. And so I'd like to... I'm going to talk to the city attorney and to the Arts Council and to the Docks and Harbors people to remind them about it and see if I can facilitate some discussion among them to see where it fits in with their thinking on the 1% for Arts program.
Further discussion? If not, let me ask Mr. Manager anything further.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Attorney.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Assembly members. Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.